Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. What a lovely sunny day it is today up in North Yorkshire. I don't know if you're having sunshine wherever you are, but it's very, very bright and beautiful here. I heard, I don't know if this is true, but there is snow on the way. I live up in the relatively highlands in the Yorkshire Dales, and apparently there's going to be snow in the higher areas of the UK, which actually is very exciting. Gosh, where do I start? I've just come back from Bolivia. As you know, COP30 is going on at the moment, which is in Belém, which is Brazil, just on the it's actually on the opening of the Amazon River in the north of Brazil. We went to Bolivia, which is just next door, to produce the world's first concert for nature. Yes, you heard that right. Artists came from all around South America and America and the UK to sing songs in honor and gratitude of our beautiful planet, Mother Earth, Gaia, Pachamama, whatever you have the name for her. But it was the most beautiful experience I've been in for a very, very long time, where artists literally performed to the water, to the trees, to the air, to the insects, to the plants. It was absolutely stunningly beautiful. So that's where I've been over the last week, which is why I wasn't able to get on the show last week. Forgive me for that. I want to introduce today, normally I'd start with a news piece, but that's really my little update. I'm going to do a show maybe in a couple of weeks to tell you more about that concert and play you some of the music from the artists. But I want to step straight in today to our guest, because I'm really, really personally super excited about today's guest. I know I say that about a lot of guests, but genuinely, this is somebody I don't even know, but I do know about some of the work that she's embarked on and is involved in. It's about, well, in fact, I'm not going to spoil it. Let me read you out today's guest's bio. So today we have Samita Hutchinson. She is the NHS Foundation Trust Director. She's trustee for Avon Wildlife Trust, chair of West of England Nature Partnership, and a coordinator for Save Soil in the EU and the UK. Now, throughout her work, Samita brings a unique blend of experience across law, public service and environmental sustainability, with a strong focus on the intersection of human health and the environment. She has strived to integrate these fields, whether in her role as a board director in the NHS, where she advocates for the health and well-being of staff, excellent, while promoting environmental sustainability, or in her leadership with Save Soil, where she focused on soil health as a critical component of both environmental and public health. As the founding chair of the Bristol Race Equality Commission, Samita led efforts to address social inequalities and supported policies that recognise the interconnectedness of community health and the environment. Additionally, her work at COPs and her ongoing efforts to drive global soil health policy highlight my commitment to using nature-based solutions to address the complex challenges of climate change, public health, and social justice. Now, as chair of the West of England Nature Partnership, she continues to leverage a cross-sector experience to drive forward nature recovery, ensuring the environmental sustainability is deeply embedded in the health and well-being of communities across the region, with a focus on collaboration and action. She is passionate about advancing both the health of our planet and its people. Welcome to Lean Into Clean, Sumita Hutchinson.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. And what a lovely introduction you've given. It's quite nice hearing it like that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm sorry. I got tongue twisted in a few spots. But tell me, Sumita, when you hear that back, and it's lovely that you feel that that's a nice introduction. If there's anything missing from that bio, what would it be that we need to know about you?
It's all underpinned by what drives me, what kind of gives me energy and insight is underpinned by something, which I'm sure we will unpack.
Okay, great. Well, tell us what that something is, just to give a little bit of a lead into today's show. What's the something?
So it is back in 2012. I came across, through my sister who came across this practice, she told me for 7 years, you must do this practice. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And at that time I had my own stuff and I was like, look, I do meditation. I do yoga. What else do I need? I'm fine. And eventually I was like, oh gosh, all right. So I went to London, tried the practice, and it was completely life-changing for me. So it's designed by a yogi called Sadhguru. And his foundation is the Isha Foundation, and it's Isha Yoga, and it's inner engineering. It's a 21-minute practice, and it literally changed pretty much in most aspects of my life. So, and so that kind of has underpinned clarity, drive, focus, which then changes your life direction, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. This is so uncanny, and thank you for that introduction, because I have to tell you, I was introduced to inner engineering with Sadhguru in 2012 as well. And I actually went out to Isha to the consecration of the Bhairavi consecration of the new temple that he was building. And in order for me to go to the ashram and be there longer than 3 days, I had to participate in inner engineering. So I went to Birmingham and I did it with one of his yoga masters, and I've done it every day since, bar the odd day when I might be ill or traveling. So that was what, 13 years ago. How mad is that?
That's crazy. Yeah, me too, every day. And it's like, I just feel like it's the biggest gift we can give ourselves, having that. It's just, I don't know, it's really hard to describe, isn't it? Most people think of yoga as you stretching or you're just, I mean, there are elements of that to it, but it just does something, doesn't it?
It does. And how I describe it to people, it's a kriya. And then people obviously don't know what a kriya is. And I say, well, it's a set of techniques, ancient techniques that includes, you know, some breathing and some omming and some meditation, and and they're like, oh right, okay, but it's actually a science, it's a technology, it's a process, isn't it? Just tell us a little bit about the impact that you've noticed that it's had on you, because I think this is really, really, really important.
So what it does, I think, I mean, I could spend the whole hour talking about it.
I know. But I do want to get this across, because this is very personal to you. And I think that is important.
So I think what it does is it gives me consciousness. So it gives me perspective. So, okay. So first of all, it really helps with health, with energy, with all of that stuff, right? So the foundational stuff that you need in order to do, you know, to thrive in the world. So
yeah,
all of that. So, and at the time that I went back in 2012, I had two very young children and I was utterly exhausted. I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I was working and trying to run a house, and I was absolutely exhausted. And so I had this like huge surge in energy, and it sort of maintained itself ever since. And also sort of health, immunity, all that stuff. So that's the foundation. But also, I think on another level, it kind of gives you this sense of consciousness. So, why am I here in this world? What is my, and it's about being connected to something bigger than yourself. And that's kind of where the magic happens. Like, this is so much bigger than your mortgage and your husband and your kids and your house. There's something much, much bigger there. And it's to be a part of that. And I think when you tap into that and are a part of that, then you just lean into, so many possibilities and doors open and things happen. And I think a lot of it comes from that. Have I explained that well?
I love the way you've explained it. It's absolutely brilliant. You've nailed it. Yeah. It's funny when you were saying about it's and it's a difficult one to say, but when you said, it's bigger than my husband, it's bigger than my family. I totally get that. I mean, I can't put a weight on it in terms of what's bigger and what's not, but it's equally as important, but in a bigger way, because it's like being fully inclusive of the whole. So no, I really, really love the way you've explained that. Thank you. And it gives me, well, firstly, it reduces my stress levels, which my wife is very pleased about. So she literally says to me, if you haven't done your practice, go and do it, please. Because she knows that I'm more chilled. But I do exactly have more energy and more awareness and able to deal with things that pop up, because we all have things that pop up throughout our day that sometimes are intense, and especially when you've got kids. So your kids are what, 14 and 25 now? Have I done the maths right?
So my kids are 17 and 15. Two of them.
Oh, sorry, I must have misheard you. My apologies. Seven, sorry. Yeah, sorry. You did say two and four, didn't you, when you first started? Yeah, I thought you said 14. Wow, amazing. And do your children, do they, I mean, you still do your practice. When do you do it? When's the time of day for you?
Wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do is my practice. So I do inner engineering, but I've sort of explored other practices as well. So there's some
Yeah.
on, yeah, there's various practices I do. On a brilliant morning, it will be like 2 hours. On a slightly more rushed morning, it will be less. But yeah,
Yeah.
but my children have picked up on it. So
Yes.
my daughter practices. She's been practicing for a year. She's my 17-year-old, and she really hasn't missed a day. And I've just seen, similar sort of impacts on her. It's tough being a 17-year-old girl in the world.
Yes.
Look,
That's remarkable that she's doing it at 17. That's really, really beautiful.
it's wonderful. She's been doing it for over a year now, and
Wow.
we quite often do it together, and
Ah, lovely.
it's really lovely. And just to see how she is. So, I mean, she's not as it's not, she's doing it. She's not like going to. She's not all out with it. A private practice. She doesn't really, it's not something she broadcasts to her friends,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
she does for herself. And it gives her, she's like in her final year of A levels, and it's really intense, and it's just given her, yeah, so much stability and focus and wellness around her,
Yeah.
which really.
It's all you can ever ask for as a parent, isn't it? Thank you for that. I re really, really appreciate it. Lovely. I think we've got to know you a little bit more deeply, which is beautiful. Tell us a bit about your kind of, the well-being, the health and environmental sectors. How did you get into to those? I mean, it's quite broad, but actually they're absolutely connected. Health and the environment is completely connected. Leadership, your role as a leader, you've obviously taken the responsibility. So just tell us a little bit about that and how it all intertwines.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we tend to do in our society is we silo everything, don't we?
Yeah.
This is, even if you're looking at one subject, it's siloed into multiple. If you're looking at climate and nature, it's siloed into multiple different parts. Health, it's siloed into multiple different parts. And so but I think, the two pressing issues of our time are the state of the planet, the health of the planet, and our health. And the two are just intrinsically linked. We are entirely dependent on, as individuals, our health is entirely dependent on clean water, clean food, clean air, access to nature, food that grows in soils. This is the, and we don't even think for a moment, these issues aren't in the front of our mind, but they absolutely should be. And so the connection between the two is it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, it's the yin and the yang. I love that. And it's funny because I could be listening to myself here. It's so uncanny. So it's when you use the word side, because I say exactly the same thing. It's like, think people just separate things. And what I've done is started using the word spirals instead of silos. And I call them my spirals, and these spirals interlock and interweave, and a bit like the DNA, I suppose. So thank you for reminding us that. I guess what would be really good is just tell me about your role with the NHS, because I just want to get an understanding of that. So you're on it's the NHS Trust, isn't it? And you're a board member of that. What does that involve?
So a lot of it involves kind of business management, essentially. So you're looking at things like what is our performance? How many people are waiting in the emergency department for how long? And what do we need to do to give them quicker access to services? What is the experience of our staff? What are they telling us about how they're experiencing work in the NHS, and what do we need to do to improve that experience, to make them feel that they belong, to make them feel valued? Things like
Wow, that.
what about our fight? A lot of focus, as you can probably know from government, which trickles down to each and every trust, but how are we managing our resource, our money? It's public money. Are we operating within the financial envelope, or are we going beyond? So these are the sorts of things that it's a collective board. So there's about 14 of us, and these are the sorts of things that we are constantly having discussions about, making decisions on, but in a really difficult climate. And when I say that, what's happening is more and more people are showing up to our emergency department unprecedented levels, Jarvis. People are becoming, there's people are getting older, people are becoming sicker, there's a lot more mental health presentation. So we're having, you can see where the societal health is going just by the information, the data, the things that we're seeing within our hospitals. But then, we have a finite resource in terms of money and in terms of staff and in terms of room. So it's quite a intense environment to be in, and I think the people that I'm working with, my colleagues around the table are doing a phenomenal job, but it is a very, very fraught and difficult environment at the moment.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I'm sure we can all relate to that. I mean, I'm sure everybody out there listening can relate to that. There, I can see people nodding their heads because, I mean, the NHS has really spiraled, hasn't it? In some ways, a little bit out of control just because of the capacity and the necessity and the nuances. And since, we pulled out of the EU and then COVID and the pandemic and now, yeah, I mean, the list must go on and on and on. But thank you for that. But we do have a solution, right? Which is what we want to get into is like, how can we release some of the pressure on the NHS? Well, you and I are living embodiments of that solution because, in fact, let's go to a commercial break. Everyone that's listening, we're going to come back after the commercial break and actually get into the solutions of bringing better health and well-being, not only to you, but to your environment, and therefore, actually, dare I say it, giving you the opportunity to thrive. We all want to thrive. So don't go away. We'll be back after the commercial break with Samita.
The station that makes you feel good.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, Welcome back. Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, I'm here with Sumita Hutchison, who is, a multifaceted individual, but really has a focus on health and well-being and the environment, with various roles that she's playing in today's society, really pivotal ones. She's just explained to us about her role as on the advisory board for the NHS Trust. You can probably imagine the minefield of issues that need to be addressed as a board member. So we talked about some of the problems, and we all know what they are: health of society, health of our planet, health in all kinds of ways in the commercial sectors of our pillars of society. But now we're going to talk about some of the good stuff. Some of the solutions. Sumita, let's just start a little bit with your journey. I mean, I know you've talked about this profound wake-up moment, which are exactly the same as mine back in 2012. But what I'd love to know is what else have you done in relation to yoga and meditation and, you know, sacred practices, or what would we call them? I mean, you know, some people might call them sacred. I definitely do, but others might just call them, you know, ancient practices, if you like. Tell us a little bit about your practices, first of all, and then we can talk about the wider picture, some of the research that's been done with Sadhguru's inner engineering.
Sure. So there's a spectrum. So a lot of what I do, it's been taught to me by Sadhguru and his teacher. So a lot of it comes from that. And there's a spectrum. So my practice includes a physical element. So classical, you know, you have in your mind yoga, somebody's on a mat, stretching in various ways. So there's that. Mm-hmm. There's three different types that are taught. One is much more rigorous, like a workout. One is like a Surya Kriya, but using breath and movement at the same time, and kind of using mind, breath and body at the same time. And the third is, you know, you're doing your standing poses, you're doing your app, you know, you're doing your back bends, you're doing your foot, you know, and it's more the kind of classical. So that is I tried various different types of, we call them Hatha Yoga, don't we? That sort
yes.
of thing. But I really get a lot from the Sadhguru method, because it kind of, he's designed, so he's just really, really understands the human system. So it's designed with a profound knowledge and understanding of the human system. And as you say, they're rooted in kind of an ancient science, a yogic science. So that's probably why I find them so impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kriyas, which is sort of internal action, isn't it? It's sort of using the breath, the mind, the meditation aspects to sort of work internally within the self. And they're really powerful. So we've described inner engineering, which is the 21-minute practice. But in addition to that, I also do something called Shakti Chalana Kriya. Shakti means energy. Chalana means to move. And literally during the practice, we are literally moving the energy through the organs, through different parts of the body. We're using breath to completely energize and kind of infuse each cell with energy. So it's a really powerful energetic health. Quite often for me, it's a more of a health-based, whereas Shambhavi is kind of, inner engineering is also called Shambhavi. Some of the impacts of that. And then alongside that, practice the meditations. And there was a study done on samyama, which I'll come to in a second. But samyama is sort of, you go away, you do like a 8-day silent retreat, you learn this meditation technique, which is very, very powerful. So there's a whole package there of sort of well-being practices. But alongside that, there's quite a strong element on food and diet. And it's not so much how I eat. It's not so much what I eat. What I eat is very important, but it's how I eat as well. So food is sort of, I think, revered. I think, you know, before we eat, there's a real sense of reverence towards and gratitude towards the food, as it's, you know, it's a part of Mother Earth, as you were saying at the beginning. But there's also eating, kind of leaving at least 5 hours gap between food, because leaving that gap allows the body to cleanse itself. Otherwise, you're just kind of putting food in your body, and it's much harder for that self-cleansing to happen. And eating food, which is, you know, obviously going to be not processed, and it's going to be much closer to its natural state, and quite a lot of raw food. So that's the kind of the food element. And then those two then lead to good sleep and, you know, feelings after the practice, and the food then kind of have all the other benefits with that as well.
Yeah, amazing. Beautifully described. So I think it's worth saying that if anybody's inspired, certainly by some of the practices that we both do, Sumitra and I both practice, and actually there's millions and millions and millions of people around the world doing these practices, you can go to Isha Foundation. I think it's ishafoundation.org, if I remember rightly. And all of the retreats and courses, and there's lots of messaging. There's even a Sadhguru app, which I play the music every day when I'm doing my practices. So, you know, there's loads of cool stuff around Sadhguru's movement. I really love him because firstly, he makes me laugh. He doesn't take himself too seriously. And secondly, he really, really does not want to be a guru. Like he talks about, you know, he talks about everything from a very wise place, but he actually doesn't really want people following him. He wants people to find their own guru within. And that's what I really loved about him as a spiritual leader. So that's a little shout out to Sadhguru. I've interviewed Sadhguru a couple of times. I was even invited to go and be with him on the what's the famous mountain called in India? Oh my goodness me, my mind completely escapes me. Kailash. I was invited to go with Sadhguru to Mount Kailash in his car because we were doing something for National Geographic and I couldn't go. So I sent Jo Wood, who's Ronnie Wood's ex-wife, who's a lifestyle guru. So she went and had the experience. So I'm hoping to do that one day. Have you done that trip, Sumitra?
Oh, I'd love to do that trip. I haven't done that trip.
Let's do it together. Let's go and do it.
Oh, let's do it, Jarvis. That would be awesome.
We'll find out when it's happening next. Okay, fantastic. Look, I think this might be a really good moment, if you're up for it, to play one of your songs. So I've just looked at what you're going to be playing today. Wow. Amazing tunes. Which one have you chosen first? Which one would you like to play first?
I don't know, Blinded by Your Grace. That's
okay. So we'll play Blinded by Your Grace. It's by the amazing Stormzy, who completely revolutionized the British grime scene. If you haven't heard of Stormzy, you've been living under a rock. I love this record. Don't tell us why you chose it. I mean, it's going to be obvious when people hear it, but I want to know personally what it does for you. So this is Blinded by Your Grace by the Stormzy. Oh, I love that record. Thank you for playing that. Tell us why you chose that record, Sumitra, apart from the obvious. What does it do for you?
Well, I think I just for two reasons, actually. One I haven't even touched on yet, and I will touch on. And the second reason, the obvious reason. So I think I just feel like we need wisdom in this world so much. We're just like, it's bewildering what's happening around us. And we need wisdom. We need that grace. We need that guidance. And, I think both of us have experienced. I mean, Sadhguru is a profoundly wise being, and he's guided me in the most profound ways, which has, you know, impacted me in, you know, how I think and feel and experience and, you know, emote and all these things. And I just felt like when I came across it in 2012, I just, you know, needed that so much. And it was blinding. It was just so magnificent to have this, you know, this guidance, this grace. But the second reason is I also had this wonderful brother-in-law, so my husband's brother, and he came across grace. So he got diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Gosh.
He died a couple of years ago, but before he died, he really came across this grace through Christ, through a completely, you know, different way. But again, it was grace, and it just touched him so profoundly and deeply, and he was just gracefully going through this death process in the most loving and graceful of ways. Such an inspiration to me. But also this song, and he introduced me to this song, actually. So this song reminds me of him as well, and what can happen to people when they are kind of, yeah, in that available to that grace or that guidance, because it is everywhere, it's around us.
Wow, what a beautiful, moving story. And thank you for sharing that. I really, really appreciate it. I'm sorry that you and your family had to go through that, but well, you sound like a remarkable individual. So what a beautiful gift it sounds like he's given to you and everybody that knew him. Wow.
Yeah, he was absolutely remarkable. Yeah.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Thank you. Well, let's talk about how this now links to the environment. I want to get into that and get into to save soil. We have very, very similar outlooks in a sense. I believe that health and well-being and the planet and everything is all interconnected. And my work is very much about the environment. My big legacy project now is actually about protecting nature and putting a value on nature, so that rather than people cutting down the trees in the Amazon rainforest for farming where they can make money, we can actually put a value on those trees in the ground. And we've actually just closed one of the world's biggest blue carbon projects with the Bahamas. It's actually been announced at COP this week. So I'm very, very touched to the environment and the environmental work that we can do. And we can have such a huge impact if we're tuned in and living our purpose. But tell me about yours, Samita. Tell me about your purpose and your driving force when it comes to the environmental work and some of the boards that you're on.
Of course. So I think again, it starts with consciousness. So the nature is like my mother. She holds me, she protects me, she feeds me, she nourishes me. So it comes from, it's quite, comes from a real sense of love. It comes from, it's quite a deep sort of longing I have to sort of, be part of the solution here. I'm involved in a few different things. So, on a global platform, on a global stage, it's Save Soil. It's a move. Save Soil actually was the beginning of how I've got into this. This other work I'm doing around nature. So, the movement has been going for about 30 years in various guises. Vast scale. Soil regeneration, rivers, bringing rivers to life, and so on in southern India. And then it got global at the beginning of 22. And I got really involved with the Save Soil. And in a lot of 22, I was involved with the PR sort of media aspect of Save Soil. But my own time, I just read book after book and listened to podcast after podcast about actually what's happening to our nature, to our environment. I never quite made that link between, I understood carbon, I understood, of course, net zero and all this stuff, and climate change and temperature rising and so on, but I never really understood how nature is, it does everything. It draws down carbon dioxide, soils, the tremendous ability that has to actually draw it down, sequester vast quantities of carbon. 70% of our country in England is agricultural land. So that we have to just tweaks, changes, support farmers, incentivize farmers to better look after the soils. Can you imagine the impact it's going to have on, temperatures and carbon, and also how we manage water, flooding, droughts, all of that stuff. So 22, the journey started. It started with Save Soil. I'm obviously still with Save Soil. It's a wonderful movement to be part of. And then it kind of evolved into, I got involved with the Avon Wildlife Trust, which is part of, I think, over 40 wildlife trusts in the UK. And then I got in, so I'm on their board. I'm a trustee on their board. And then about a year ago, just over a year ago, I got appointed as the chair of the West of England Nature Partnership. So what this comes from, a bit technical, bear with me. The Environment Act says each around 40 plus areas in England need to have a local nature recovery strategy. In other words, how are you going to bring nature back to life on a large scale way across England? So this was a Conservative government thing. And then who is going to deliver that nature recovery? So I chair a partnership, and this is about delivering nature recovery in the West of England. So exactly what you're saying, it's about valuing nature. I mean, it's like the ecosystem services, the value starting to put monetary value to it, but it is enormous in terms of, if you think about this weekend, the flooding that happened, or towards the latter end of last week and this weekend. So I went to Manchester with my family this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I went there by train. I went for a concert, went there by train, came back by train. The chaos and pandemonium. People were literally like punching each other to get on the trains.
Were they really? Gosh.
Just absolute chaos and packed like sardines. The cost, the fallout from that flooding. And just to think about, you know, the kind of the cost of that.
Mm-hmm.
If we were forward thinking and we had this conversation 10 years ago about how we know what's on the horizon, how are we going to mitigate that? What are the nature-based solutions? How are we going to have healthy soils which are going to absorb so much of this water to prevent the flooding, for instance, or plant these plants that are going to be like rain gardens or whatever it is? So the work I'm doing in the West of England Nature Partnership is bringing these partners together to look at building back nature in the West of England. And we have so much political buy-in. The mayor, it's part of, so the mayor, Helen Godwin, her West of England combined authority is the responsible authority for the delivery of this partnership. Sorry, delivery strategy. And the partnership that I chair do the delivery of it.
Wow.
There's so much political buy-in from her. She is one of the most vocal, positive, passionate political leaders I've come across in this nature space. But we've got within our kind of on our board, we've got the usual environmental and non-governmental organizations who are doing wonderful work in this space. But we also have the two water companies, we've got all the local politicians, so we've got all the local authorities and the combined authority. So potential to do phenomenal work in terms of nature recovery.
Absolutely brilliant. That's amazing. I mean, thank you. I do definitely want to speak. Sorry to cut you in. I want to, firstly, you are so incredibly inspiring. So thank you for being who you are. I absolutely know in the bottom of my heart that, you know, because of your practice, you are able to be in service to these projects unconditionally. And have the energy and the resources to do that. So take note, anybody that's listening, if you bring a practice like this Shambhavi inner engineering into your life, you will find the resources, whether that's energy, money, partnerships, etc., to actually fuel your life's purpose. I can promise you that because it's been the same for me. Clearly, it's working for Samita. I want to speak so much more about this because this is really, really touching my heart. Let's cut to a commercial break. Don't go away, everybody that's listening. We're going to come back and we're really going to get into some of these hopeful initiatives and projects that Samita is driving, because what a powerhouse she is. We'll be back soon.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm here with Samita. We're talking about, gosh, all of her fantastic, purposeful work and the way that she's living and showing up in the world. Tell you what, Samita, if everybody, you know, had access to, you know, what you're tapping into, the world would be a completely different place. I really want to honor you for that. Now, it's funny, I was just looking at the West of England Nature Partnership website, and I love the fact that you're a full women team. No, genuinely, I do. Genuinely, I'm a massive advocate for trying to get women into places where they can be leaders, because the leadership is done in a completely different way. It's a little bit like our spiritual practice. When you know you're in service to something bigger than yourself, And I'm not discrediting men, but most men, unfortunately, in the leaders of our world, are not operating like that. They're operating from selfishness and power and greed. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. So really honouring your feminine qualities for that. And many men out there will have these feminine qualities too. And I salute you. But a lot of the men that are running the show, unfortunately, don't seem to be showing that side of things. Let's talk a bit more about some of the amazing work you're doing, for example, with Save Soils or with the Nature Partnership, because this show is all about leaning into clean. Yes, it's about individuals getting healthier, but it's all about also about how do we, you know, create healthiness for our biodiversity and ecosystems. So tell us a bit about some of the projects that have really touched your heart, like things that you've been involved in. You've gone, wow, this is really making a difference.
So I think in terms of the West of England work, I think one thing that has been super exciting and energising has been something called the Western Forest. So it's a programme and got funding for it, and it's to build one of the first national forests in 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Planting, looking at agroforestry, planting millions of trees in various areas, a lot of community engagement, like thousands of volunteers going out there, very hopeful. So that's something that is really exactly what we're doing, large-scale programs to recover nature, bring it back to life, and all the health benefits and community benefits and all the kind of outcomes from that as well. Another thing that really inspired me recently was, you know, the UNDP, United Nations Development Programme.
Yeah, we work very closely with the UNDP, so yes.
Wonderful. So they have got something called a Conscious Food Systems Alliance.
Yes.
And I recently went on one of their retreats. So what I tend to do is I'm really involved with all these activities, but I don't necessarily bring that kind of spiritual aspect to my work because, you know, it's there, but it's subtle and it's kind of, you know, it's not overt, it's not explicit, it's just there. But what on this, so I went on, they invited me because they want Sadhguru to be one of the keynote speakers at, they've got an event happening in Bhutan next year.
Oh, nice.
It's called a Global Summit on Conscious Food System. Wonderful sounding event. Wonderful. So there I went along to help with some of the, you know, think around thinking and the planning for that. But it was so wonderful to be with so many people who are bringing consciousness or grace or whatever word we want to use for it into their practice. And, you know, these are like game changers. They're doing amazing work when it comes to nature, environment, food system, soils, agriculture, all this stuff. And that was recently, that was something really energizing to actually, like we were saying at the beginning of the conversation, it's things a little siloed, aren't they? Just bringing it all together, it was just really inspiring.
Yeah, lovely. I know Thomas Legrand, actually, who is part of the Conscious Food, I can't remember what it's called now, Alliance Program or whatever it is. We wrote about them a while back at My Green Pod. So I'd love to pick it up with you as well. I think there's lots of editorial support we can offer you in the projects that you're involved in. So I'd love to do that. Now, I'm conscious that we are coming very nearly to the end of the show. So Samita, I'm going to play your second song. Tell us what the second song is. And then after we've played it, you can tell me why you chose it. And then you can also give me a couple of minutes on your closing comments. What would you like to tell our millions of listeners that you feel that they should know? So let's play the song first, and then you can share what bits of inspiration you'd like to share before we end.
Wonderful. So the song is Nitin Sawhney. It's so he's an artist of Indian extraction, fusion music, and this song is called Immigrant.
Oh, wow. Immigrant by Nitin Sawhney. I hope you enjoy this as much as we will. We'll be dancing here. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. What a powerful song. Absolutely stunning. Why did you choose that, Samita?
I think, firstly, I think my mum and dad, they were immigrants. They came to this country in the 60s, and I think their story was not dissimilar. Wandered to an advert, They were like, oh, we'll go and have an adventure. And I think just their resilience. I think, like, I'm on this journey with that I've described with Sadhguru and Isha, with my father as well. He's pretty much done all the programs with me.
Oh, nice.
So it's sort of, yeah, it's all of that really. And it's, yeah, it's a real acknowledgement of the beautiful impact he's had. So yeah.
Yeah, lovely. That's so beautiful. I can relate to that as well. My Indian father was born in Kenya, and my grandfather was born in India in the Punjab and had to leave during partition. And then, as you know, Indians had to leave East Africa again and ended up in the UK with these. And actually, you know what? I wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened. So, you know, I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay, so now this is your moment, Samita. I would love you to share with our listeners something that you feel could inspire them, or something that, from your understanding, your knowledge, people would benefit from knowing.
Okay, so thank you. Really lovely to be given an opportunity to share this. So I think I think when we turn on the news, or we go out into the world, there's a lot of chaos happening, and things aren't necessarily going in the direction in which we would like them to. But despite that, I think if we make ourselves available, there is a lot of beauty and a lot of magic happening around us as well. And I think we can tap into that. I certainly tapped into it through these practices that I'm describing. I just think they just make it all bring it. Like, I can see it in Technicolor through that work. And I think there's something around. And then once you're in that place of awareness and you can see some of the magic in the world and what you do and your actions can be much more in service, which is the most wonderful feeling. It's where the joy comes from, if you like. So yeah, Jarvis, I hope I explained that, but that's sort
You
of.
did, you did, you did, and you did beautifully, and thank you very much. I mean, in essence, everybody that's listening is that, you know, if you can find a way to tap into the practice that is going to help you, I don't know, system reset, system reboot, expand your awareness, you know, chill you out a bit, you know, all of that. If you can do that every morning before you start your day, you're going to have a completely different experience. And that is the key to successful life, I think. Samita, thank you so much. You've been an absolute joy. Honestly, I could talk to you for hours. I'm going to follow up with you because I think there's so much for us to connect on. But I've really, really enjoyed having you on. I know that our listeners will have enjoyed having you on. You've been an absolute superstar. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful speaking to you, and I'm looking forward to all our follow-ups. Thank
Yeah,
you.
absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to end just with a little play out of my song, Save the World, that I did with Rita Mora to raise money for Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Future. This is Save the World by Jarvis Smith. If you get a chance, put it on your playlist, play it while you're asleep. It doesn't matter. Every single time it racks up a tune, we raise money to send over to the most affected people and areas through Fridays for Futures, the young people of our world that are in trouble through climate crisis. I've loved this show. Thanks, everyone. Have a lovely super day, and I'll see you next week.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.